Hey, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for the opportunity to hang out with y'all today. We are heading into our next session in Houses 3 and 4 in Buddhas and Butterflies. We're working with welcoming in anger and utilizing its healthy role as we transform it from all the various ways that we personalized it and pathologized it for ourselves. And as we transform it into its healthy role, it's meant to create movement and momentum in a way that drives our life forward meaningfully, in a way that moves blood through our blood vessels, air through our lungs, does all the physiological requirements in our body, and helps to keep things in motion. Have you ever noticed those times after like a really big long vacation, if you've ever been so lucky to have one of those, that it's hard to get going again? Anger is meant to keep things in motion, to keep momentum building and driving us forward. So we are working with all of that, y'all. Okay, so as we settle on in, make yourself comfy cozy. If you haven't already, make your way to a nice, quiet, cozy place where you can either sit or lay and be undisturbed for your session. Beginning here by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in. To receive. To drink in life. Every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go, to make space, and to allow. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant, even neutral, taking time to just pause, notice, drink that in, and to savor it. Okay. And then I'm going to invite you to do that again on purpose, the savoring part that is. But first, let's locate something that feels pleasant to be with. I'm going to invite you to let your gaze go either externally or internally for a bit of a wander. I'm invited just to check out its environment, almost like it was looking at it for the very first time. And as it moves around, drinking in all the beauty, all the easeful things, all the things that are pleasant. And then ultimately letting the gaze land on one particular thing. On one particular thing. And when it lands on that one particular thing, noticing just a few qualities about that you like the most. And the invitation is to let yourself be really enamored with them. Really like letting yourself almost like merge with it, if that sounds a bit weird. Imagine that you can draw it in towards yourself, breathe it inside of you. And to let yourself really drink it in to savor it. I'm betting I've said a lot of weirder things. Y'all are pretty used to that. So as you breathe with it and you breathe it inside of you and you savor it, much like you would a piece of fine chocolate, like letting it like ooze and melt through your body, melt through your system. Noticing how the body responds, what happens inside of you. Where you feel it and what it feels like in your body. And then I'm going to invite you to savor all of that goodness and just to let yourself really steep in it. Both externally or wherever your gaze happens to be, that might be internal, as well as the body's response. So drinking it both in at the same time. And the body's response may change. So just staying with that and tracking it, noticing where that goes in the body, if it changes, if it stays in the same spot, it may change in its tonality, its texture, its breadth, its depth. And I'm going to offer these words. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today. And thank you to all that's going, that all that goes into these sweet moments of connection. Thank you to the families that created you, the ancestors that came before them, their lineage, and the communities in which you call village, home, family, those that support you. Thank you to those that caretake and steward this very earth that nourishes us all. And thank you to the earth herself for reminding us what it is to be held in mothering energy, to be held in nourishment. Thank you to the skies above, reminding us what it is to be held in fatherly energy, to soar above, to rise, to expand outward. Thank you to the water that purifies, that goes to the very source of our emotions or consciousness. And thank you to the fire that connects us to source, that allows for us to release all that no longer serves. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Om Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. Okay, loves. If you hear a little extra background noise, I want to introduce you to my puppy, River. We have a somehow an extra set of paws in the house, and River is a Chinese crested powder puff. And come say hi quickly. So he's my what you might hear in the background. This is River. And every once in a while, you might see my body move in an unexpected way just because I'm probably getting something out of a little puppy's mouth that it shouldn't be in there. So, just so you know what's going on in the background. And yeah, he sort of magically showed up on our doorstep shortly after Rox was close to leaving our doorstep. So, I think Roxy, in a way, called him in, and there's a bit of a story there, but we can go into that in another time. So, if you're open to it, I'm gonna invite you just to take a moment to breathe again, making the adjustments in your body that you may want to. I'm gonna invite you on purpose to pay attention to your body for this entire journey today, this entire time that we have together. And I'm gonna invite you to actually on purpose invite its movements in. So that might be like in complete stillness that you end up sitting in, or it might be a sense of like, I really just kind of want to move this way or I want to adjust that way. So I'm going to invite you on purpose to actually not be still. I'm going to invite you on purpose to let your body move however it wishes to. And to allow those impulses of movement to come through, to be honored, to be respected. And in this way, we're actually letting the body have a sense of its expression, come to a fuller expansion. And in doing so, it's actually opening up your throat chakra. That's where we're starting today. As we work with the throat chakra, the consciousness of expansion in expression, working not just at verbal levels, but through the nonverbal levels. 93% of our communication is in our body. It's our body language. It's how we hold ourselves, how we move with our body, how we posture our systems. Okay. And as we work with this, there's a sense of almost like an ease with that invitation to let your body move however it wants to move. For so long, we've been told to, sit in this chair, keep your eyes forward, keep your hands to yourself. And we're actually just beginning to release some of that conditioning. You've heard me speak about this before. It's a really ingrained thing that doesn't actually allow for the authentic expression of the system to roll through. So in the essence of this, honoring your authenticity of your expression, of your body, of your movements. And as we do that, running a cellular repair on the parts of the nervous system that learn to hold, I'm going to say, in a frozen position or in a freeze position. And it somehow normalized the parts of your body that were frozen, that were held in a shutdown or withdrawn response. And you might have even looked or been referred to as well behaved because of it. In particular, the female population often is. So, as we run a cellular repair here, restoring these cells back to their fullest potential of health, not just for you, but for your maternal lineage. We're going back 5 generations. And as we work with this, working with the emotional shutdown and the responsive emotional withdrawal, and related to that, I see the hands and the feet begin to, in my mind's eye, the images of them getting like swollen like a balloon. And it's like that movement impacted the, or the lack of movement, pardon me, impacted the lymphatic system. The lymphatic system learned to quote unquote play dead. And in doing so, it stayed stuck in cycles of overthinking, overanalyzing. And it held on to more toxins, gunk, waste than it really needed to, which in turn created more inflammation. I particularly see that impacting the mast cells. Those are part of, I believe, and I'm not an expert in this particular territory, but I've been learning a little bit about it over the years. And these are the cells that release histamine. And this is impacting in particular, and I don't know the names of the bacteria, which is where my knowledge gap is. It's impacting the bacteria in the intestinal lining that are prone to amplifying histamine and not necessarily breaking it down. And it's just creating excess inflammation that becomes internalized. And that excess inflammation that becomes internalized is paralleling internalized anger. So the internalized information that says that you were told that wasn't okay to be expressed out loud, whether that was through body movements or verbally, is held here in these microbes, in the intestinal lining. And it's also creating a bit of a shutdown or an indigestion loop, as I'll refer to it as. So here we're running a body chemistry, and this might not be so much for physical food. It might be for life, emotions, events. So where are you stuck in a loop of things that just can't seem to be digested? Where are you stuck in a loop of things that just can't seem to move through? Where are the sticky points in your life right now? In particular, the things that are really just kind of like annoying, irritating, perhaps pissing you off, or making you really fucking mad. Yeah, anywhere on that spectrum. And that in turn is linking into the ratio of good bugs to bad bugs now held in the internal lining of the bladder. And as we work with this, I see just this really like bright yellow color, but not like nice bright yellow, like sunshine or daffodil. It's almost got an angry tonality to it. And if it could speak, it would say something like, hurry up, get this done, move through this quickly. Okay, I was trying to figure out the loop, or pardon me, not the loop, the connection between the digestion and the bladder linings. And it's so the quickness in the bladder and the digestion of the intestines. They meet in the middle at fast food. So the times where we quickly grab that thing to eat, that I'm going to suggest doesn't actually allow us to have a connection to moving slowly, to savoring our food, to making our food, to having a hand in the preparation of our food. And it also feeds a lifestyle that says nourishment, the feminine, the yin, is not all that important. We can do without that. And that's also linking into the consciousness of dismissal of feelings. Okay, so we're gonna run another body chemistry on that internal lining of the bladder. And it's actually not just for bacteria, but also for viruses. And the virus component is carrying more of the fear, the bacteria is more of the anger, and the two combined are forming a sense of rage. And it's a rage around not having as well been met by a slower pace, by a nourishing lifestyle, by nourishment in our ancestry, by nourishing emotions, by nourishing events at a pace that were digestible. And if the bladder and the intestines could talk about it all, they might not actually say words. They might just open their mouths and scream out of frustration. So this, I'm gonna go for gold on my, this might sound weird here. I'm gonna invite you to imagine that these parts of your body can actually scream. Okay. And then we're bringing in, of all things, I'm still feeling into this one, a stone. Now, this is something I am just beginning to understand and learn about, but apparently, in certain traditions, in the in Judaism, they actually honor the death, the graves of those that have passed, with not flowers, but actually like a stone. And I get the sense that it's as if they don't want their spirit to be weighed down. So the stone actually holds on to the material life, as well as represents more of the eternal realm. And it says, like, I'll hang on to anything that's too heavy for you, I'll anchor you here. And also, it's a remembrance that you're part of a much broader eternal life. Okay, and with that, as we bring in stone energy into the bladder, into the digestive system, often we think of stones as being a bad thing, like bladder stones or gallstones being built up in the system are not usually associated with great things. And we're actually bringing in the quality, almost like, and just play with me on this one for a moment. Not actually being stoned on cannabis, but what that's meant to do, which is actually to create a relaxation in the nervous system. At the same exact time, we're really going for gold on this metaphor, we're releasing time according to that eighth chakra past life, which is somebody's car alarm is going off. I don't know if you can hear that, but you know it's up on this end if you can hear that more faintly and you're wondering what it is. We think that we don't think in body talk that you yourself will live before or that you go on to live again. Rather, that when somebody passes on, all the unresolved energies enter like a giant pool. When a new being comes into formation, they scoop up a bucket of pool water and they sort that out in their lifetime. And this was a memory of being stoned. And I actually see various different memories of that, and some of you may have more than one. But I see the one of being stoned for being a witch, and I see others connected to the culture of East Indian and being stoned for being an unkept woman, an unclean, pardon me, woman. And it was because your husband cheated on you and you were stoned. And I just keep seeing that same interplay of the association, not like you're actually stoned on cannabis, but the relaxation particular part that's meant to come with that. Okay, hear me out on this, but it's like in the act of the villagers throwing the stones, the acts of the others throwing the stones was a way for them to quell their anger. Like they actually took action to release their anger. So this isn't, at first I thought it was about the victim, but it's actually about the perpetrator. Okay, interesting. So it's actually about the one who's doing the stoning as a way of trying to relax, an attempt to relax the anger in their system. And they're running a cellular repair on that. Whatever emotions that brings up for you. And for everyone of you, it'll be just a little bit different. And those are the emotions that were also held by the ancestors that did the stoning. Those that were the perpetrators. And amongst all of that, linking into the solar plexus chakra and a feeling of the indigestible being here. And related to that, a sense of these are the actions I'm taking, and then trying or attempting to digest them and make peace with them amongst the various emotional responses. Okay, and as we do that, releasing adhesions, connective tissue around the chest, around the centers in particular of compassion. So above the breast, we and not speaking about the breast, but just below the collarbones, you might imagine that you have like little lights, little compassion lights. And those compassion lights are meant to face forward, to change your direction. Interesting associations here. I did not think we'd be going there today, y'all. And as we work with this, it is actually linking now into your body's sense of producing stones, whether that's gallstones out of anger or kidney stones. I think I said bladder stones earlier. I think that there's also, and it's not really referred to as a bladder stone, but there's a way of building up some minerals, calculi, or some sort of material within the bladder that itself that can create irritation as well. I have to double check that piece of knowledge. But we're working in all the areas that produce that type of stone. And again, there's a sense of just like compressed anger. So it's a inbuilt response to too much anger in the system and your body's way of trying to quell it. It's like throwing stones in the same way that villagers threw stones to quell their anger. Instead of it being outward, this is the internalized response. So instead of assaulting another, it's I'll assault myself. I'll throw stones at me. Amongst all of this, doing an emotional release of sadness. And there's a sense here now of not necessarily the perpetrator, but the one on the receiving side of the stones around being exiled, in essence, being told you're not one of us, being told you don't belong here. And amongst all of that, also a sense of defeat. Like, it wasn't like you didn't try to fit in or try to belong, but there was a sense of this just isn't going to work out. Like, I've tried everything I can and it's just not happening. It's not coming together. And amongst all of that, a sense of being the black sheep. The sense of being the black sheep in one's family line, in one's social group, in one's wherever it is you find group energy, but the sense of always being like the one that stands out or sticks out, the black sheep. And then also doing a secondary emotional release of sadness. Not secondary, pardon me, but a second emotional release of sadness. And it's around connection. And it's again related to family, group energy as a whole, really. And it's held in the heart in a sense of sadness to the point where it actually might even be at times be misinterpreted as anger, as fear. There's underlying that as deep sense of things just don't seem to go in my favor. Now, because of all these past experiences, not just held by you, but your ancestors around not fitting in, not belonging, things not working out, the sadness upon sadness that we've been working with, it set this expectation for the future to hold nothing but the same. And a sense of devastation and hopelessness every time the past gets reinforced by another expression of that happening again, to the point where there's actually built-in protection from something ever being even attempted again. To the point where it says, I won't risk trying again. So, for this, around the thymus gland, just on top of the heart, running a seizure is continuing for the next 16 days. Let me do the math on that until August 29th. Or 16 days from the time when you listen to this session. For those of us listening on the day of, that would be August 29th. For whenever you listen, it'll start then. And that's always the case, by the way, with all of these things that run for a few days. So Sidri starts with C, circulation of all the healing resources, blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains our toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons. Working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, anxiety, depression, that help us to heal on all levels, in particular our nervous system and our immune system. And then we're working with the circulation of the overall yin and yang, the yin being our feminine essence of nourishment, the yang being our masculine essence of protection. And then running hydration, helping the cells to take out water and joy and releasing the impurities that no longer need to be here. Followed by D for defrag. Much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, taking out the clutter of what no longer needs to be here, what remains can be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. Then all the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking, opening up to possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before. Okay. And as we do this, we also need to do a little bit of rebuilding within the thymus gland itself by connecting it through to the heart chakra in particular. So in body talk, we have this thing that we think every chakra of the seven major ones has broken down into sub-chakras. Sub-chakra number three. And the sub-chakra, the third one here, relates to the qualities of the solar plexus. So it's like, how easily can we digest harmony? How easily can we actually take in ease? Or, pardon me, how easily can we take in the qualities of the heart chakra, which would be like respect, dignity, ease in relationships, in connections. And we're linking that to the fourth sub-chakra within the heart, which is very much about, it's like a double whammy on all things heart. So it's working with the quality here in particular of innocence. It's like a reclamation of innocence. As in, before that barrier of protection was built up. And then, interestingly enough, I actually just see both hands extending forward in connection and in receptivity. Okay, so the hands are open palms, held non-defensively, but not in a state of like guiltiness either, but just in a state of, I'm here and I'm welcoming. And letting that energy be carried through the heart chakra, which has the largest energetic capacity, shall we say. Its energy field is 60 to 100 times stronger than any other energy field in the whole entire body mind. There's something kind of special about all things hearts. And the shape of it in sacred geometry is referred to as the double torus. And it's this self-feeding, self-recursive loop. And this self-recursive loop, it almost looks kind of like a donut. And the physics of it, the gravitational pulls amongst it, ensure ongoing circulation. And if we understand that image from a certain angle of how this is all, as well, being highlighted, illuminated through this session, it's saying that nourishment is always already here. It actually can't not be. It's just the mind that gets in the way of the past experiences of times where it wasn't, thinking it needs to build in false layers of protection against it that perpetuate the story of saying you're lacking. And as we bring in the sacred geometry of the heart fields, I begin to see the social engagement nervous system around anticipation of family dynamics or group energies begin to not quite, how do I want to say this? It's like it can see beyond it, it can see something deeper than that, it can see the other side of this all. Those roads feel a little bit lacking. So I'm just trying to find different wording here as well. It's finding the compassion and the understanding that what's happening through them to you, from you to them, is not actually a two-way street. It's actually connected through a field of unification, of unity. Meaning what's happening through them to you is also happening at a level from you to them instantaneously at the exact same moment. And on that cue, Jerry has joined us. Jerry is not my kitty, but he lives in the house here. So Jerry is the only one that is not impressed by a puppy. So at this particular moment, the puppy is sleeping, which means it's safe for the cat to come out. And as I talk about that, I'm just recognizing the animal family dynamics that have been shifting in our household and how this all may be playing out in some interesting ways for my own my own system. Okay, then at the same time as all of this, releasing almost like a knotted adhesion held within the fascia or the connective tissue around the prefrontal cortex, which some refer to as the high heart. The high heart. Oh. I love that you can hear him purring, for those of you that are commenting on that. Yeah. Okay. So with this, it's still unwinding, so I'm just giving it a bit of moment, giving it a bit of a moment, giving it some space. I'm seeing a little bit more loosening up on the left side initially. Through the, it's like the part of the high heart that's connected to what can logically happen. And the part of the prefrontal cortex that knows how to take forward action. Okay, and then it's also creating a sense of spaciousness and momentum. It's like it was bound too tight to actually be able to move. In the same way, like if you have a knotted muscle, you can't move it in a free way. It's like this was bound through an energetic adhesion. And as it loosens up, there creates more space, and there can actually be another layer or another capacity to move forward and to create ongoing momentum. Okay. I'm just sort of watching the right side curiously. It doesn't have the same movement. It's actually more in stillness, and it's unwinding, but not because we're actively doing anything about it. It's just relaxing. I don't know if you've ever had like really tangled Christmas lights, and if you get in there vigorously and you try to untangle them, it's like it just makes it worse. But if you just go really slow and almost not exact stillness, but there's a point of just like, I'm just gonna move this over there. I'm gonna move this piece over here. You begin to create a little bit of space by means of not overdoing, but by means of actually slowing down. And it's opening up spaciousness just by slowing down thoughts, slowing down activity, slowing down emotional responses, and in particular, slowing down any knee-jerk reactions. Okay, and then it's showing me the very midline where this is unwinding. Through the consciousness of trust and surrender, as the midline often represents. And I just see it forming almost like a vaginal opening, like it's like a portal, it's like a rebirth energy. Just finding the words here. I can feel the energy, and I can see the images with it. And I don't remember the fancy name for this in the indigenous cultures, and they have different names for it in different cultures. But it's like standing in, I'm going to call it an R wording, alignment. It's standing in the seven dress, being centered in the seven directions. And we know the six being connected to the 3D worlds. The seventh was you. The seventh is like your core energy. And it's like standing in alignment amongst all of that. Standing in your authenticity. Like, okay, full circle. Your authentic expression, creating the alignment for how it is connections, how it is group family dynamics unfold around you and within you. Excuse me. Okay, interesting. And then related to this, we're working with, I'm going to call it like anxious worry to the point of being almost like a hypochondriac around anticipating what might be wrong. It's like a built-in thing out of protection, held, however, in the feminine lines. And yes, the feminine has protection, and yes, the masculine has nourishment. I know we talk about them very dividedly as the other way around, and the yin yang symbol shows that we have a little bit of everything within everything else. So the feminine protection of swiftly jumping to the conclusion out of a need to stay safe around how something might be bringing harm. And just slowing that down through, in particular, the again, the social engagement nervous system. I don't think I said this last time. So, social engagement nervous system is held in the nerves that feed the eyes, the ears, don't count for me, pardon me, eyes, ears, tongue, and heart. Okay. And then we're taking the brow chakra and the throat chakra and the consciousness of your face and how it is you're facing forward, how it is you're facing forward in a way that creates momentum. We don't actually build momentum by turning away from things. We build momentum by going like straight on. To the heart chakra to harmonize how it is you can maximize your actions, your activity, your it's coming up with the words feminine drive. And it's again linking to that same portal energy that I was seeing earlier of the opening of the vagina, opening into rebirth energy through the prefrontal cortex in the center in the midline. And the words are just simply, I trust myself. I trust myself. Okay, we're going to tap on this part here. So, invitation to breathe and receive however feels right for you. Okay, and they're just giving that 2, 3 rounds of breath, letting that part have a bit of space to be really taken in. Okay, and then the consciousness of submission is coming in. Sort of in relationship to the earlier stuff that we were working with, like interrelationships and those dynamics that we find in between people. And the other side of that coin being domination. I'm actually seeing like one knee bent in submission and one knee rigid in I will not bend a knee. In fact, I will lock this knee and I will govern over you. And both are playing out at the exact same time, which is creating this like push-pull. And not to mention confusion. Okay. And there is rage in both. No, part of me. Contempt in both. Contempt at having to bend the knee, and contempt at having to not bend the knee and hold the place of rigidity. So both are equally unhappy, and neither one of them is really getting their needs met, whether they're in submission or domination. It's kind of mirroring as well. We haven't talked about this for, I don't think, a couple of weeks now, but it's mirroring like the insecurity and grandiosity and the contempt that is found there within within shame. And it's linking into the kidney meridian that happens to govern the knees. And we're going back through the family generations, six of them, in fact. And just looking at the various cycles of I will lord over you versus I will appease you and people please you. I know what to do here. You should follow me. To I have no idea what's going on. I'll follow you. Just tell me what to do. That linking into the musculoskeletal system. Tendons, ligaments. And it's interesting, our muscles will be able to withstand far more pressure. They'll build up capacity far faster than the tendons and the ligaments. The tendons and ligaments can also withstand pressure, they just take a lot longer to get there. So, we're working with the tendons and the ligaments. Being at like a breaking point or at a snapping point. And that linking into, again, the kidney meridian going through the family lines. And this time going into the bones. Going through dad's side specifically, and it's on a mental level. Okay, and it's working with, this is not a topic that's often as discussed, especially in our ancestors' time, of the body image of what a man should look like, be like, how he should hold himself in order to, quote unquote, command respect. And the shame of not measuring up to that. The shame of that being of being less than, of being inferior. And then attempting to be greater than or narcissistic, grandiose in order to gain respect. And there's this feeling of having one knees cut out from underneath them and having to overcompensate for that amongst it all. Interesting, we're linking that to all 12 houses. Okay, fascinating. As we work with all 12 houses, from beginning to end, from end to beginning, looking at the full cycle. That cycle forms almost like a cyclone or a tornado. You know how tornadoes or cyclones, I'm from the prairies. We get wind. We don't necessarily get a bunch of those other things, though it doesn't seem like that I'm aware of anyways. I occasionally, but the image that I have them is cartoon-like, so I think that's what they're like. Where they're broader at the top and then they're narrower at the bottom, they sort of like funnel down. And the funneling down is actually going into houses 3 and 4. Okay. It's going into, got it, the element of earth that houses 3 and 4 in body, and the capacity to stomach, to digest. We've worked with expression a lot, which is like more of the third house thing. And we looked at the environment a fair amount too, which was family, group dynamics. And it's like all of that is connecting now or funneling down into a more useful capacity to be digested by anchoring your system to the earth, by anchoring your system's earthiness, your earth element, nature, through to the broader earth and grounding you as a part of the broader whole. There's an automatic sense of you are supposed to be here. This is where your sense of belonging is meant to be driven from. Not necessarily about interactions between humans, but by the fact that you actually have a body and that you were born and that you're here on planet Earth. So the very nature of existing, the miracle of everything that takes, if we really look at what has to go into all of that, means that you were supposed to be here beyond any shadow of a doubt. And just beginning to anchor in that sense of really deep connection to life itself, independent of human conditioning. Okay, cool. So we work with that in the energy of houses 3 and 4. Linking it through to the navel region. On either side of the navel, just below the navel, working with all the umbilical and blood vessels. And a sense of you don't need permission from any other human to be here, to exist, to take up space in the way that you were created to. Without it being a grandiose thing or an insecure thing, granting yourself permission to be beyond that of any other human's permission, including my own. As we highlight this dynamic, got it. Took me a sec to figure this one out. It's like we've taught the system how to be able to hold its own, to stomach any withdrawals from other humans and their thought processes, and to derive its true essence of its meaning, of its own nature, from that which is beyond another human, but from nature itself. I'm running a permissions here, and the words are simply, you are a natural human being. You're a natural human being. All the animals are making themselves known today. That's Roxy barking in the background. Which means there's a dog across the street. You're a natural human being. Just giving that a round of breath. We're going to tap that part in here invitation to breathe and to receive. Okay, I'm giving that another round of breath, maybe two. And I've got a song here, it's a couple minutes long. Just finding it. Okay, Ikro Madrasita is the name, which I'm not entirely sure the translation. Beyond Dear Mother, I think that's probably the simplest translation to it, which just feels appropriate given everything that we have been working with here. Okay, so I invite you to rest. To call on any resources that you touched in on earlier, if you feel desirous of that, and to let yourself just be nourished, be held. Thank you for calling this medicine in, and thank you for being here exactly as you are. What a blessing. Wishing you blessings on your upcoming days ahead. We meet next Wednesday at, I was going to say one, at 4 p.m. Mountain Time, and I look forward to that as well. So, mwah, mwah, mwah. Om Shanti, 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 peace, peace. Peace. Okay, bye for now, y'all. If anyone needs any additional support, feel free to hang out and happy to meet you there. Okay, bye for now.